Welcome back. That's not the right one. Welcome back, Bubbles. Welcome back to Bubbles. ever since Elise showed me that that one. Man, I've just been obsessed with Dominic Manamana. Manamana. Man, it's just stuck in my head now. I need to turn my volume down. That's loud. Here we go. That's perfect. Okay, cool. Dominic Manamana. Like brothers, we fight, but also. Dominic Manamana. Dominic Monaghan. So I've been just doing that, but for independent incidentals. Well, bag of independent imbapemples. I've been training for so long, years. It's time for me to finally face my main fight. Idiot, stupid mobile game slop that I hate with a burning passion, that I hate and I despise. I can't lose my cool, man. I can't do it, man. Oh. I shouldn't do this to... Hold on. Hold on. I gotta give the people another Instagram reel. Hold on. What am I gonna do? Hold on, I got an idea.
I got an idea of what I'm gonna do. I got a freaking idea.
Warning. I get really pissed in this episode, in a lot of instances, about the world and society itself, but more so about the games industry, let's be honest. This is a video game show. So I talk about the video game industry, but I kind of take my anger out on a lot of things. So do be wary. We're going to be talking about real stuff, Flails and Germs. I hope you're ready. Cue me out. Boom, 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 boom. For the people who saw the Instagram stories, I do apologize for my tone of voice, my candor. I had a lapse of judgment. That was the lapse of judgment. Everything I said there was perfectly valid and completely true. They done stole one of my favorite games that from Germany. Thronefall is a game that I personally adore for its simplicity, yet its complexity. A lot of very linear choices, yet those choices kind of layer upon itself. And then they turned it into slop. They turned it into disgusting slop. They didn't turn it into slop. Some other people fed that game into the slop machine and then turned it into slop. They turned Thronefall, which is a good game, into Kingshot, which is the disgusting amalgamation of Frankenstein of everything that it wants to be, but can't be because it sucks and it's terrible and I hate it with a burning passion. I despise anything that takes the face and identity of people who actually put effort into it and still completely rip the idea and completely botch it in its presentation and its advertisements. Welcome back to Imbibembit in the Bembles. Welcome back to Independent Incidentals, Ladles, and Germs. Today, we will be talking extensively about mobile game slop. Specifically, we'll be talking about why did mobile games become terrible? What happened? I remember back in the day, I remember when I was just a little kid, when I was just a wee kiddo, back in the day with my iPad 2 that I got with the money that I was receiving from my first communion, and I fell in love with it. It was everything. Everything was there. You could go onto the App Store, and there was Angry Birds, and there was Bad Piggies, and there was Subway Surfers, and there was so many creative, fun, engaging ideas for the generation, for this new generation that was going to be able to tap in and play these games mobily, anywhere. And now? What do we have now? Look at yourself and see, what do we have now? Games with test tubes. Games that completely botched their advertising. Games that simply do not know what they are anymore. They don't have an identity. But how do these zombies still live? How do these games still have a pull on at least some people? How do these games get pumped out by sweatshop factories? And I'm not joking, by the way. These games are paying the developers pennies, if that. How do these games make money? And then can we fix this? How can we go back to the way it used to be? Well, we have to go to a little bit of history. With the opening of the App Store, which occurred way back in 2008, I'd like to say. That's just a random number I threw out. I knew it was somewhere around the aughts, but I don't know specifically. Whenever App Stores became a thing, when Apple came out with its first iPhone and people started downloading apps, being able to have their open marketplace and being able to download apps, right? You didn't want to pay for a $500 device, or even, what was it back then, $200, whatever inflation has caused it to be nowadays, $1,600, $1,700. You didn't want to have to pay an extra fee on top of all the apps you were going to use, if they were even going to be usable, right? You didn't want to download a GarageBand or note-taking apps or specific apps that allow you to, you know, do specific things or play video games that you might not enjoy, right? There was no refund policy that I'm completely aware of. So this market needed a way to make money while also not having everything behind a wall of payment, a paywall, if you will, right? So we made freemium games. We made mobile free games, games that you could download and play for free without paying a dime or a cent. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky, because a lot of the ways that people make money from these games are obviously through advertisements, right? You can't just give out a project for free. You can't make a game that runs on servers, that has to be holding people's data, that has to constantly go under maintenance without having someone receive a salary of some sort, right? Have either Google or some big wig tech company holding the data for all your users, or simply just to keep yourself fed. So we had advertisements, ways that companies could spend their money to advertise, to display their games, right? Key word there is to display their games. Their games. The games that they made. Not a fake game. A game that they made. Right? So, in order to populate this market, we needed to expand out. We needed to be able to have ways to deliver advertisements to these apps so that the developers could get paid, right? Simple as that. That's how it all started, with advertisements and payment models, right? Because if you don't want ads, well, you could pay a $3 or a $5 permanent payment and completely get rid of them. And you can enjoy your game or your freemium app for free, or even get all the features for the app, right? We're not even going to talk about subscription models or anything like that, because that's not specifically what we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be talking about specifically what happened to people's attention spans over the years, I believe. Because we always joke about how games like Subway Surfers and stuff like that were destroying our attention spans to begin with. Obviously, most of these games aren't complete saints. They need ways to advertise. They need ways to catch eyes. They need ways to materialize their whole identity in the marketing space, to be able to put their product on the shelf, as it were. And the only way to do that was to be able to advertise elsewhere, to show off their games and their apps on other platforms, right? And that's where these gigantic conglomerates occur, where you have like a couple of services, big services, who are specifically managing all the advertisements that come on your feed. Now, I don't know when it happened specifically. I don't know when this parasitic model took hold specifically, but people started to be able to capitalize on this. They started being able to use and take advantage of the systems that were in place. I'd like to say it was like the late 2010s, perhaps, you know, somewhere around there. And they started to make fake advertisements. I'm sure there was probably fake advertisements before, but the moment that we started to be able to put out, like, once automation started to happen, once AI models started to occur, I think even, like, yeah, early 2000s was when this really, really started to get bad, right? We've already seen a bunch of the other games, like, you know, ripoffs of titular puzzle games and stuff like that, but it's like a weird, like, it's like a pregnant woman who's in the cold and you have to give her a blanket, but then, like, you also have to light a fire, but then you lit the fire too much and now her house burns down. Play our game! Right? Like, these weird, weird advertisements started popping up. And from that point, they realized they could get people to click anything. As long as you have a click, as long as your people are able to click on your advertisement, you can get people's attention, right? You can get their attention easily. Just make something that's rage bait, simplistic as possible. You've seen countless of these advertisements, right? I forget of a specific game, right? But there's the one where you have the guy who's shooting the gate, right? And the gate either increments or decrements, depending on if it's positive or negative. And then you enter the gate and you get more guys who can shoot more guns. But then there's enemies on the way. Uh-oh, shoot the enemies. But then, you know, obviously the person who's playing the game is a drunk, is a person who doesn't understand numbers, who's been watching TikToks all day or something. I don't know. And they start shooting the people, but then they get distracted and they start shooting, like, a wall that obviously is not their, like, level. So they keep shooting it. Uh-oh. But then they don't have enough time to shoot the guys and then they die. Oh, try again. And then you have to click to see if you try again. And then when you download the game, it's a city builder. It's a damn city builder. Right? Insane to me. Right? It doesn't matter if your game is good or not. What matters is how you present your game. I can imagine thousands of ways, right? And I blame this on the original OGs who were advertising. I know you were getting your bag. I get it. The YouTubers who were advertising Raid Shadow Legends, who were advertising Lords Mobile, right? These games were actually, like, pretty accurate as to what they were advertising, as per se, right? They were advertising a game that allowed, you know, either, you know, accretion of characters, you could say, like, a character collector, something like that. Gotcha game, which we'll get to in a second. Or it was like one of those, you know, strategic army simulation games, whatever, right? But, like, the constant, like, whoa, I just got a new hero, and it has 5 stars? Whoa, you guys gotta get this game. And I hate to say it, it's literally gambling, right? And this is advertised to children. And this is where it gets to a problem, right? This is where it becomes bad. Because children could look at the game and think, oh, wow, I can't wait to get that cool hero, or that cool skin, or that cool whatever, MacGuffin. And they click on the game, and then they play the game, they get either addicted, and then they ask for mom's credit card, And maybe one Christmas they get like a gift card and they buy something. And then they get the inkling to look at the back three letters of their mom's credit card. And then they start paying more money. And then once they get into a job or whatever, they start having these horrible, horrible habits. This psychology that is able to infect their minds. There's a literal board of psychologists that people who are very high and very affluent in power in the mobile space who are brainwashing children. This is insane. I sound like a crack theorist right now. I feel like Charlie Day looking at the damn murder board in Always Sunny. But it's true. It's true. These games are cartoonish. They have very funny visuals. But they either are trying to replicate the sort of like, oh, I could do that with the gate shooting game. Or they just completely go a horny route. And he starts just showing like softcore porn. And I'm like, excuse me. Excuse me, what are you doing to the children? And there's no real security or specific gateways on this. You've seen what happened on Twitter with the outburst of this AI model being able to unclothe women. This is a bit off kilter, but it still pisses me off to this day. An AI model was designed. Whether it was intentional or not, doesn't matter. It was designed to be able to undress women virtually. And they did it to children. Are you insane? Are you genuinely insane? Like, anyone who still supports Elon Musk is a genuine pedophile, in my opinion. Or at least a pedophile defender. That is insane to me that he has not taken any steps to at least stop Kruken doing any of this. Or anything of the sort, right? There should be a board of people who would say, hey, they can do this now. And it was still going on for days, even after they discovered it. It's almost like they thought they could sweep it under the rug, right? It's almost like they could stop talking about it, and suddenly the avid sexual assault would go away, right? Again, a little side tangent, but it's still the same principle that is taking the mobile game market by storm. If you can just sweep everything under the rug, if you're able to package your terrible or at least boring more so game with flashy visuals with a very, very, you know, what am I trying to say here? The point that I'm trying to make here is that it tries to get you angry and for you to click, or it gets children to be able to click on it because they're curious, right? It feeds on that. It's able to take advantage of that. And that's what I hate about the mobile game industry. It's either rage bait or it's horny. And there's no in between, right? And maybe sometimes it's both. But the point is that it feeds on attention spans. So, what are they trying to accomplish with this, right? We can discuss forever about how they're able to take advantage of the market, how they're able to take advantage of the full, you know, attention span of children, right? What are they trying to accomplish with this? They're trying to fish for whales. What are whales, you may ask? Whales are the lifeblood of almost every free game, right? Advertisements are one thing, right? You can watch an advertisement. The game gets a little money because the person who's paying for it pays the middleman, which is the ad firm or whatever, who's able to display the mobile ad or whatever on that game, I mean, right? Right? It goes from company to middleman to developers, right? However, those obviously do not make the bulk of ad revenue, or specifically of revenue itself. Whales are the lifeblood of mobile games. And what I mean by that is whales are very, very high-paying customers in a specific game, right? if you can package a game that has microtransactions, if you can package a game that allows you to do spins or gotcha elements or be able to do free pulls or whatever, right? You can get the people to pay money. If even, I think the metric was at least 2%. If 2% pay most of the market, then everyone else can pay for free, right? That's how it should run. It's the people who are able to spend the money who can pay the money, right? But that's not how it always works. Again, like I said, psychologists, people who are able to tamper with minds, people who are able to make things what they call more sticky, quote-unquote, sticky. It's their way to avoid the word addictive, right? It's their way to avoid the word addictive because they don't like being associated with addiction. They don't like being associated with an alcoholic or a person who constantly bets all their life and money away on slots, right? Whales are the ones who pay most of the money to the company, which then allows them to continue these practices. And no matter what happens, no matter if they're getting money from a person who is making a lot of money already, which is fine, I guess, to a person who is pretty much spending all of their savings on this game, who are spending their lives away instead of, you know, being able to develop a hobby or a life outside of the game, feeding the concept of feeding the game comes from all these RPGs back in the day, right? Games that are free, and are relatively free now, but obviously have these very, very aggressive, very, very addictive qualities to them. Grinding, specifically, is a trait that is in a lot of gacha games that allow you to feel like you're doing progress and feel like you're putting the money to a good cause, right? Gacha games have this element that allows you to replay missions, something like that. I've never played a gacha game before. The only time I've seen someone play a gacha game is when my family was going to get a new cat from a person who had a bunch of little kittens, and their son was just playing, I think, Honkai Star Rail, and it just looked like too much. Like, they were just in, like, an empty vista, and I was like, this is the game? Really? I guess I wasn't really looking, but, like, still. The main thing that I'm trying to get at here is that by making these addictive qualities, by allowing people to work up to being able to spin for new characters, 5-rank characters, characters that are extremely rare and are going to go away soon, right? That's another way they get you. FOMO. Ways of making sure the player feels like they're missing out. Because if you're missing out, then you can be damn well sure that you're going to try to get that skin. Or that cosmetic. Or that character, or whatever, right? So, we have whales who are specifically trying to be fished by these companies through very, very controlling, manipulative tactics. And I've seen a bunch of interviews with these whales, right? I've seen people who've spent... I've watched people who've spent over $100,000 on their favorite gacha games, right? Collectively. Individually, they've collectively spent $100,000 each on these gacha games. Just let that sink in for a second. That's 2 or 3 years worth of salaries. Anyway. Just food for thought for a second. Just put that in your mind for a second. They are spending years' worths of salaries collectively on games. And look, entertainment, whatever. You want to buy a game. You want to pay for the subscription for the game. You want to pay for, you know, the battle pass or whatever. That's one thing. But the fact that they're able to basically run this lottery machine, this gamble of constantly having to grind for a character, having to accrue resources, having to spend their money on pulls for a character they're not even guaranteed to collect is sad to me. Because it just shows how impactful and how successful that model is. Again, obviously there has to be whales in order for the good games to also exist, as well as the bad games. But I feel like the bad games take it one step too far. I feel like the bad games are able to take and hold this attention. And it goes back as well to the fact that it's, you know, these characters are hot. These characters are meant for gooners. And if you don't know what a gooner is, look it up on Urban Dictionary. I'm sure you'll find a very, very, very palpable resource about gooners. Gooners are the lifeblood. You can replace whales with gooners, and it's pretty much the same thing in a lot of gacha games. Because, obviously, these games have jiggle physics. These games are obviously trying to pump up the attractiveness of the women and the men, for the record. In order to sell the game. It's baffling to me the fact that they're like, oh yeah, I just collect the characters. Brother, look at me straight in the eyes and tell me that you collect the characters only for the collection of the characters. I just think she looks cool. You mean she looks hot, okay? You think that she looks hot, and that's fine. But the fact that it's almost like it's like a cognitive dissonance in our mind, right? It's insane to me how much justification some whales will go to. A lot of them will say it's bad. Great. I'm glad. Right? They can look at these horrible, horrible practices and realize for what they are. But the people who are like, oh, it's how the game is supposed to operate. If it's a good game, it doesn't need to operate on taking manipulating people into a lottery system, into a basically a slot machine, right? Look at me straight in the eyes and tell me that FIFA doesn't have a lottery system, right? For pulling cool players in soccer, right? FIFA has this, right? That game's rated 3+. That game, according to the Board of Games, I don't know specifically what the acronym is rated 3+. Do you not want to know how what Balatro, basically one-time payment game is? A Balatro, a game that costs $10 versus a game that constantly eggs you on to pump out money, pump money into the game so that you can get your favorite characters. Do you want to know what Balatro is rated as? 18+. It's rated 18+ because it has gambling associated properties, which, like, okay, fine. Then rate FIFA 21+. It has literal gambling and it's marketed to children. I'm losing my mind. The fact that microtransactions can be this deceiving, right? What these games do is allows you to kind of create your own community. The best kind of thing I could say for them, right? They can build a community around them. They can say what characters they pulled. But these communities are just completely... They feel like they're trapped, right? In this cycle. It's like, oh yeah, I gotta pull the new character. That's another $250 down the train. No! What are you doing? No. Brother. Sister, please. They, them, please, just lend me your ears. You don't have to spend $250 for a new character, right? Famous mobile game League of Legends did this with their new Jinx skin. I think it costs around $250 to pull the new Jinx skin, which is insane to me, right? You'd think it's like a promotion for the show. If you have a Netflix subscription, it would like pay for like the extra eyes, stuff like that. No, it just doesn't. No, we're not going to do that. Sorry. No, we're not going to do that, right? Because why would we? Why would we want to go through that? Doesn't make any sense. right? Getting back to, you know, these clones, right? So Kingshaw, for example, which I despise, and you've seen me in my Instagram how angry I was, and I still am. Right, I was been looking at this for the past 30 minutes, and it still pisses me off looking at this, right? Most of the assets from Kingshaw are ripped. Most of the gameplay is ripped. Most of the assets, everything is ripped from Thronefall, which is a fantastic game. If you haven't played Thronefall, please, it's only like, I think, $15 on Steam, and it can go down to like $7 when it's a sale. Get Thronefall. I might make another Thronefall video, because it's a very good game. It's a very good game. It's yeah, exactly, $15. $15, maybe $17. Right? Get this game. Don't get Kingshot. Kingshot does not deserve a single dime, a single eyeball on it, because it is a mockery of what indie games have done for the community. For the community. Because they take gacha games and all these kind of other games talk about community, right? They talk about joining and, like, being able to play together, right? And stuff like that. And getting the cool characters and all that kind of stuff, right? You can get a game that only costs $15, $17, and still have as much fun, still have a pretty decent community around it, and constantly get free updates. What are we doing? What are we doing? Obviously, I can't deny the artistic prowess that a lot of these games also have around them, right? The people who enjoy the characters, enjoy the writing specifically, are fine, right? I don't know specifically about Genshin's Impact lore or Honkai Star Rail lore or anything like that. But the fact they're able to prey on this audience to be able to do free work is baffling to me as well. They do these contests. A lot of gacha games do this, where they're able to mobilize people to make free artwork for them and be able to add it to the game. And what do you get in return? You'd think you'd get a pretty nice bonus, some money, $100,000 maybe. No, not even a cent. You get free currency in the game. Isn't that what you wanted? Five free pulls. You get five free pulls. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? The people who enjoy these games say that they don't have to spend a dime on them, right? And fair enough. You don't have to spend a dime on them. But what does that do for the people who are enticed to spend a dime on them? What does it do for the equivalent of the alcoholics in this community? You can drink and socially and be fine. Even get a little drunk, who cares? But to spend $50,000 on microtransactions that allow you to open loot boxes or games themselves that are able to add to the cycle, this constant turning out of creativity and turn it into sludge, is baffling to me. It's baffling to me. It's sad. It's so sad to see. So that's why I warn you people. Do be aware. Do be aware of the things that you buy. What about some... Let's lighten this thing up. How about we talk about some of the good, the bad, and the ugly? We've already talked about how gacha games suck and I hate them, but what about just something that's like in the middle of the road, right? Something that's actually free most of the time, but also able to implement its microtransactions successfully. We're looking at something like Bloons Tower Defense 6, for example. This game... As much as Ninja Kiwi has kind of been turning out sludge recently, they've recently released a couple games that have not been doing well. But Bloons Tower Defense is still a very popular thing. I think the main reason is because they got bought out, like I said, on the Flash episode, episode 20. They got bought out by a esports company that has been doing a lot of deals for them, which has been very helpful for getting the kind of marketing out there. Seeing Bloons Tower Defense on the shelf always makes me a little smile. But at the same time, Has also caused it to kind of fall prey to these same ideas. The fact of FOMO, the fact of stuff. However, thankfully, a lot of the skins you can buy in this game can be spent with in-game money rather than having to be spent with real money. Obviously, you can put real money into the game to get those skins faster, but that's literally all there is to it. Bloons Tower Defense obviously has its very interesting practices, because recently they've released, like, a roguelike, they've released, like, a promotion with, like, was that one, She-Ra, Prince of the Universe? I don't know about it specifically, right? But besides the point, I think it's doing a pretty well job. I think it's doing a pretty dang good job. As I don't know about what the future holds about this. This could age like spoiled milk, but this, as a whole, I believe Bloons Tower Defense is doing a decent job. It's not perfect, obviously. It still kind of shoves a lot of these promotional materials in your face, but a lot of the features of the game is free. It already costs like $6 on the App Store anyway. So it better damn well be. It's also on Steam as well. A lot of the good games, mobile games anyway, are also available on Steam. So it's kind of makes sense in that way. If you can support like the kind of port to Steam or whatever, then it just kind of makes sense that you're going to make a better product than whatever this slop is. What about a good game? What about a good game? What about a fantastic game? What about a game that I love that is able to be played by everybody, doesn't have any ads, doesn't ask you for anything specifically, only costs $5 to get most of the features, right? We're looking at My Singing Monsters, my friends. We're looking at My Singing Monsters, a game that is able to kind of hide most of its microtransactions. It's not even strategically, like, optimal to get microtransactions. A lot of the game can be kind of strategically made to not require microtransactions at all and just focus on the main core of the game, which is one of the most creative concepts I've ever seen in a game. This game has been through thick and thin ever since my childhood. When I first got my iPad, I remember this game on there, and I only got the first island, the very first island. I'm sure you all know about it very clearly. You can think about it in your head right now. You can think of that white furry guy saying, boom, ba-boom, boom, boom, and then la, 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 la! Anyway, let me check those levels. Let me check those. Oh, that's pretty. Those are juicy. Those are juicy levels. Every single character, if you don't know what the hell I just did there, every single character that you can get in this game, it's kind of like those dragon breeding games, which were popular back in the day. Dragonvale, for instance. Dragonvale was a very popular game back in the day where you had to breed dragons. The way you would do that is you'd have two different elements of dragons, you'd breed them together, and they make a new dragon from an egg that hatches and you put it into a specific habitat. I loved those games. I simply adored those games. That and Monster Legends. I remember there was a cool Vanoss Gaming promotion, if you recall that YouTuber. There's a lot of fun to be had there. But specifically with My Singing Monsters, there's a lot of different characters that do different things. One of them is a violin, one of them is a singing voice, one of them could be a synth, right? There's a lot of cool things that you can discover in this game as you breed these monsters, as you're able to create new monsters, flesh out a full song in each island. And guess what, people? There are, and I quote, more than 30 islands. When I got this game originally, when I first played this game, back in the day, back in 2014, there were only 5 islands. There were the 5 natural islands, which were the 5 natural elements of the game. As you expand out, however, as time progressed, you had the fire element that got added from another game they made called, I think, Dawn of Fire, which was the version that was like for kids or whatever. Then you had all the magic elements, which added 4 new islands. Then you had already implemented was ethereal and mystic monsters that could be bred on each natural island through a secret combination that you can find on the wiki. And then they had promotions with actual artists, right? For example, I believe Sugar Bush, I think his name is Sugar Bush. His actual name in real life. His actual name in real life. Christian Bush. Christian Bush is a real American singer-songwriter who made, because his child really liked the game. His child loved My Singing Monsters, so they were able to get a promotion with him, so he got added to one of the songs, right? And then he had his entire new island that had all of, like, had his specific music in there. And there are some complications with, like, licensing and all that. This is something that you don't get with recent games, because they don't care anymore. This game cares! And the most recent edition they had was with Baby No Money! What?! Excuse me. Sorry, that was a cough and a laugh at the same time. Baby No Money. I was shocked to hear it, because he had already one monster that he was voicing before, and then he just got his, like, own character in the game that he just raps over, which is extremely funny to me. I love it so much. It's just so cheesy. I love it, right? So, this game just, it's like the last beacon of hope in this desperate time of microtransactions in infamy, right? Because here's the thing. This game only requires, in order to get the full inventory of gems, which are the premium currency, So this is the currency. So in normal games, you just, like, for example, you have currency that spin for characters in gacha games, or you have a currency that allows you to expedite processes in, like, Clash of Clans and stuff like that. This game only requires you to pay any amount of money, which the minimum is $5, right? $5 for the game. And you can have a gem mine, which produces one gem per day, on all 30 plus islands, maybe 20. I don't know how many actually have the ability to place mines on them. But besides the point, you can get up to 30 gems per day from all the mines that you have, because there's a special mine, yada yada. Point being is that this game is able to take the bare minimum with microtransactions and still have a very, very loving, friendly community and have a very good game on top of it. Right? A very creative, fun game. I wouldn't really necessarily call it, like, it's, like, not really intricate game. It's just a simple, like, you know, I guess a sort of, it's a very, very similar parallel to city planning games. Where you have to place the monsters down on a map, and you have to clear out, like, specific debris and all that kind of stuff. But once you get up in the levels, everything becomes really easy to get. And is able to kind of expedite the process of how you play the game. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's why it's one of the only bastions of light in this hellscape of microtransactions, of rage bait, of AI slop, of constant attention spans, having to fake a game in order to actually get people to play it. In the Kingshot ad that I saw recently, there was, like, a bunch of, like, sexual innuendos that the person was like, oh, I'm getting backshotted! Oh, jeez, man! Oh, shoot! And this is marketed to children. Obviously, children have, like, the internet at their fingertips, and I get they're not, like, you know, as pure as, you know, people used to think they were. But, like, it's still, there has to be a line drawn here somewhere. Right now, Kingshot is the number one top free strategy game. It is the number one top free strategy game right now. I could think of a million other games that should take that spot, but unfortunately they aren't there, because apparently this stuff sells. Being able to hype up, being able to grab the attention span of someone, like, saying, oh, 6-7, 6-7, I got 6-7 enemies left, oh, maybe 6, maybe 7. It's not funny. It's not engaging. It doesn't inspire any sort of impact on life or anything specifically regarding creativity or anything regarding some sort of beating heart that developers pour into the game. So if you're going to get any game, get My Singing Monsters. We need to return back to 2010s markets, back to when the games used to be good, rather than focusing on the slop. Because this is how they get attention, saying the game's not too bad, even though it's a complete ripoff of a game that was created with love and support and tender care, right? We're not saying that the game is a unique concept. We're not saying that they're reinventing the wheel here. There's a lot of tropes that Thronefall falls under. It's obviously a city builder. It's obviously tower defense elements. There's a bunch of other things that were inspired by Newgrounds and stuff like that. But we're just saying one simple thing. When you clone a game so similarly, where you steal assets, where you're able to rip the game from the ground up and create your fake, disgusting replica that has no credibility to the original concept, that's where you fall short, right? How many people do you think out of the 10 million plus who've downloaded the game have uninstalled it? And keep in mind, this game has a 4.2 rating. Do you really think that the people are rating it 5 stars? Do you genuinely think that people who actually are alive and have flesh and blood are rating this game 5 stars? Unless they're, 5-year-old kids or whatever. Do you think they're actually doing that? Unless they're being paid. I'm assuming, allegedly, there's probably some foul play going on here. There has to be some foul play going on here. You've seen people being able to buy bots to be able to up their to be able to boost their likes, to boost their likes on Instagram, be able to ratio people, be able to feel like they're more influential than they actually are. This is how people are able to become very, very high positions of power very quickly, right? Do you not think for a second that these games are doing the same thing? Think about that for a second. As much as I like to joke on this show, there's a lot of sadness that this also brings around in my heart, in my soul. Because the dead internet theory is true. If you don't know what the dead internet theory is, it's basically the concept that a wide majority of the people on the internet are bots. And this wasn't new. This wasn't like the internet AI boom craze that's happening right now, that the bubble that we're in. This was way back when the internet just came out, maybe a little bit later, halfway through its lifetime. There's still, ability to create spam. There's still the ability to create stuff, but it's so much more believable now. And I thought that an AI bot could recreate a game that was made with love and tender care and make it into something that is just an abhorrent abomination scares me. Because what happens next? What happens next to the people who make the games? Will they be able to be fed? Will they be able to have, sustainable lives that they can still carry on? Or will all the money be funneled into these games that are able to create a nexus of whales? A nexus of whales that just spend most of the money, are able to be addicted by the game. The game isn't sticky. It's addicting. Get it right. If you're able to make this nexus of whales, or simply get kids to buy things in the game, convince their parents to buy things for them in the game, what happens next? Right? What happens next? Because obviously we kind of created our original games. We created Clash of Clans. The industry created all these kind of games through the good faith of people, right? Being able to tell a game for what it truly is. Versus being able to tell a game for what it's not. For being able to spend your money where you want to spend your money versus spending your money on a game that is slop, right? And thankfully, the good news is that a lot of these games are falling prey to this are free to play games, right? See if I can pull up a chart real quick. I want to see it again. I could probably put it up on my phone. Because I also want to quickly describe again what I see when I look at this. Because on the one side you have with top free games. You have Gacha Game. You have Block Blast, which I've seen a billion times, which is just follows that same brain bait model that constantly infects the feed, right? 4.8 rating, right? You have Disney Solitaire, which is like, okay, sure. King Shot, number 8, right? All these games that sort of take advantage of people's attentions. But then you look at the top paid games, and it fills me with life because it shows Minecraft at the top, Geometry Dash, Balatro, Stardew Valley, Balloon Star Defense, Slay the Spire, Terraria. These games still exist. They're only found in the top paid because that's the only way that they can truly make their money, right? When you become free, there's only very few people who can pull it off, such as, for example, you know, My Singing Monsters, right? My Singing Monsters is able to fully pull it off because they had an extremely popular time back in 2014 when it first came out. Big Blue Bubble was able to constantly expand the game. They were able to take advantage of the money they made back then, and they're able to still make a game that is creative, that it inspires children, that gets them into creating music. They have a specific island that is just focused on making music for the monsters, right? You can feed them anything, and you can make an island that allows you to capture your own creativity. That's what I want from a free model. Why can't the rest of these games do it? Because they want more money. Because they want more expansion. They want to take control of their consumer base and be able to let them think, not for themselves, but for the CEO, for the people who are in high power, the people who are making the most money. That's what I hate most about this model. Because it doesn't congratulate the developers. It doesn't congratulate the people who are actually working hard on the game. It congratulates the people who are like the highest authority. With a game like My Singing Monsters and the creators, Big Blue Bubble, they are able to, you know, each developer, each person in the company makes their own monster voice, pretty much. There's like a select few people who are able to actually, you know, sing. And they don't have to be good at singing, but it still works because there's composers and artists who work on the game that create the monster designs, that create the islands, right? This game still harbors the same hope that I wanted from this market from its inception, and it held it for a while with Jetpack Joyride and all these fun, interesting games that had, you know, advertisements as an option rather than something that shoved in your face, you know, something that was able to advertise itself on its merits rather than having to constantly fall to rage bait and having to, like, oh, click the button, click the button, click the button, constantly try to grab your attention, right? Why can't games be like this anymore? Because the time for the internet, when it was free, when it was active, when it was full of life and creativity and people still had ideas, is almost dead. And you should be scared about it, because I am. My internal mind is still screaming at the top of its lungs because it just hates what it sees, what it did to Thronefall, what King Shot did to Thronefall, right? These games do not belong here. That's what I'm saying. These games do not belong here. So, what is my main takeaway from this episode? This is probably the most, like, serious episode I've ever had. But essentially, what I'm trying to say here, what I want you to take away from this episode is when you look at a game, when you look at the developer, when you look at who made the game, think to yourself for a second, who is earning something from this? Who is actually getting something from this? When I download Last War Survival Game, what am I getting from this? 50 million people have downloaded this game. And I can almost guarantee you that there's nothing in this game that even closely resembles the gameplay in here. It saddens me. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. I hope you... Jesus, who did that? Man, someone wanted to scare me with my own damn voice. It's terrifying. You know what? I can't fault them. I can't fault them. That's a good one. That's a good... You guys did great on that one. That's also a very good one. Man. That's a pretty good one as well. What I'm basically trying to say is... Support the games that actually do something. Support the people who actually want to put an effort in. Support art as a whole, and support the people who make art. Because at the end of the day, once all the robots take over, there won't be any art anymore. There won't be any more art. So, in a sense, you have to cherish context. Cherish the idea that someone is behind this, a human thinking person with flesh and blood who is pouring their heart and soul into this game. There's a team of those people who love the game that they're making and want to make more of them. Versus a person, one person at the top who wants to make money off a game and take advantage of people based on very, very cheap and disgusting tactics. Allow them to grab whales, to fish for whales. That's what they want to do. They are whalers at the end of the day. They want to hunt and capture the whales. So, don't become a whale. That's like the very bare bones the assumption that we can make here. I'll see you all next week. I don't know what specifically entails here. Because we're moving on to the next month. Which means I have to actually have like a full encompassing theme regarding that. Which is exciting. What do we got here? What do we got here? Winter 2020. Winter 2025. Narrative games and RPGs, people. We got Undertale. We got One Shot. We got what was this one again? It was The Walking Dead by Telltale and Telltale Games as itself, as a whole. And the lies that they tell you about choose your own adventure games, as a whole. Omamori, if we have time, of course. Unfortunately, we have a reading week, so one of these will be cut. I won't tell you which one, though, until the schedule comes out on the weekend, so stay tuned for that. Additionally, also, if you're still listening, I have a special surprise for you. I have a little... If you're listening live, this week on Saturday at 6:30, 7, somewhere around there, there is the Rhapsody Dance Project, which I'm a part of. I made a bunch of music for a composition class, and they liked it so much they wanted to dance to it. And I'm like, what the hell? How is this happening? So, if you want to see my music, want to see me perform, you want to see the dancers pour their hearts and soul into art, go check it out. I think it's $20 for students and $25 for others, for adults. So, check it out. There's a bunch of crazy things that they're doing there. Tap dancing, ballet, the works. So check it out. And I'll see you all next week with another game, but specifically narrative games and RPGs. Bye-bye for now.